starting at the top of Amud Aleph. So we have to deal with the last bubble of the Mishnah, which in the Mishnah we were bringing psukim. It seemed to undermine the either common thesis or common thinking regarding some measures. So Rabbi Akiva was the protagonist in most of the bavot of the Mishnah. Up here we have the protagonist being Rabbi Yeshua ben Hukunus, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And the drasha was about Iyov. Right, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Hukunus said that Iyov lo yavad yavad zekosh brachol me'ava. So the pasuk, the Gemara says, begins the pasuk, shenemar hein yitaleni lo ayachel. Right, so even if Hashem kills me, to him I will pine or I will be drawn. So the siv in the pasuk is lo, lamed aleph. The kri in the pasuk is lamed vav, lo. Now the Gemara here is interestingly dealing with that and say, Boba Yom Darash Rabbi Yeshua ben Urkish lo abad yovel mi'ava. So Gemara says, v'lech say, hi lo, iba lamed aleph ktiv. Lohu, even lamed vav ktiv, lohu. Right, meaning that if it's written with a lamed aleph, meaning lo, no, right, that I will not be pined for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or is it written with a lamed vav, right, which then would imply that I do pine after him. So then, why is the Mishnah, or why is Rabbi Yeshua ben Gorgonus, when he mentions this, uncertain as to what the outcome of the outcome of what the meaning of the pasuk is? And again, the ksiv, what's written there is a lamed aleph. So it seems to me the Gemara is just following the ksiv of the pasuk and not the kri of the pasuk. And is it so definitive? Meaning that if you knew for sure it was written in lamed aleph that it means lo not, are you sure it means no? Right? Ela miata v'chol tzorotam lo tzar. And again, this is another case of a kri and a ksiv. Right? The ksiv is again lo with a lamed aleph, and the kri is lo with a lamed vav. So it says there that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu says chol tzorotam lo tzar, that in all their pain, meaning Klal Yisrael's pain, lo tzar meaning Hashem is not in pain, or lo tzar with the lamed vav means Hashem is in pain, joins them in pain. So now there it says dechdiv lamed aleph, and it's written with an lamed aleph. It's written lo with lamed aleph. Alchi nami d'lohu, right? Does that really mean not that Hashem is not in pain? B'chidem alchanami. If you say the word lo there, means in the negative form, meaning that whatever pain Bnei Yisrael has, Hashem is not in pain with them. Right? V'haktiv. The end of the pasuk is umalach panav hushiyam. Right? That the Malach will turn his face to them and redeem them. So the pasuk, or the context in which this is written, is a positive context, meaning that Hashem is in pain with, along with Klal Yisrael, and therefore he will redeem them, or the Malach will come along and redeem them. So there we see, even though lo is written with a lamed aleph, which would suggest that a negative form, we still read it or interpret it in the positive form. Again, so even though the ksiv is lamed aleph, with lo, meaning not, we read it as if it's lamed vav. Lamed vav as a positive statement. So over here, just because by Eov it's written with a lamed aleph, that won't be evidence that it's a negative statement. It could still be a positive statement. Ella, so Gemara's conclusion is mashmahachi or mashmahachi. When you have a lamed aleph, it's not certain as to what the meaning is. It can go either way. So now, Tanya. So therefore, the pasuk's not conclusive, and there, but Yerushua ben Herkulinus in the Mishnah brought an additional pasuk to prove his point is how we know that Iyov is worships Hashem Yahweh, says, Adegba lo asur tumah timi meni. Right? That until my death, I will not lose my tmimut or my closeness to Hashem. So now, the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Nemar Yirei Elokim b'Yov, Nemar Yirei Elokim b'Abraham. Right? So we saw that was the Rabbi Yochanan had always said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai always said that Iyov was Ovid Hashem Yirah, because in the first pasuk as well as in the first parak, it happens twice, pasuk al pasuk chet, it says that Iyov was an Ishtam Yashar Yirei Elokim. This time Yirah calls Iyov a Yirei Elokim. So Rabbi Meir says, it says Yirei Elokim by Iyov, and also says by Abraham, Yirei Elokim, right? Atah Yadatik Yirei Elokim Atah, by Abraham. My Yirei Elokim Ha'omer B'Abraham Mi'ahava, just like the Yirei Elokim by Abraham also has an association of Ava. Av Yirei Elokim Ha'omer B'Amur B'Iyov Mi'ahava, that is also Rava. B'Abraham Gufa Minolon. How do you know that when it says Yadatik Yirei Elokim Atah by Abraham, it also means that he was Zera Abraham, right? So that the offspring of Abraham, who was my beloved, meaning that Hashem clearly states that Abraham worshipped me Ahava. Somewhere it says, well, Ma'ika benosim Ava, deosim Yira. When we're talking about Ava and Yira over here, what are we describing? Or what's the difference between Osek Me'ava and Osek Me'ira? You know, is there any nafkamina between these two forms? So now Rashi points out over here, just to differentiate between what we had earlier in the Gemara that we had on the Kof Beis Amud Beis, right? That the Gemara over there says Parush Me'ava, Parush Me'ira. There was a list of certain seven Kirushim, things that right, people do or act, and which were making a visual or projecting an image that wasn't true about them. And the last two in that list were Parash Mi'ava and Parash Mi'ira. Someone acts out of love and someone acts out of Yira. And there the Gemara rejects that as part of the list because they say a person shall yosek adam b'tor mitzvah shlo lishma, shmetok lo lishma, bo lishma. So over there, the Gemara is clearly viewing Parash Mi'ava or Parash Mi'ira as being a negative form. Something that is negative, not necessarily lishma, right? It's Parash Mi'ava, but nevertheless, so because even lo lishma is good, we're not going to see something negative about it over here. Here, the Gemara seems to be lechatchila saying that this is that is Ovid Mi'ira or Ovid Mi'ava. These are lishma. These are positive things. So how do we differentiate between the Ava and Yira on Kof Beis and the Ava Yira over here? So that's what Rashi does. If you look in the Rashi Lalafim the Ovai, it's the second to last Rashi in the Perek, about 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the Rashi in the Perek. It says the first word in the word is Ein. Right, that we saw on the Gap of days. That Ava of Hashem means that he's doing it out of the love of the reward. Or the fear is fear of being punished. So that's where the Gemara over there says, someone is also Solishma Bolishma. What do we hear? The Ava and the Yira over here are Lishma, meaning that the Ava over here is not mi'avat shkara mitzvot, not the reward of the mitzvot, but a love of Hashem. Not love of the mitzvot, but love of Hashem, or not love of the reward, but simply love of Hashem. Because you love Hashem, you do it without any expectations of any quid pro quo, that you'll get anything back for it. And the same thing, mi'ira. Mi'ira is not mi'ira ta'onesh, or mi'ira, right, the punishment or the bad things that will happen, but the ira over here is ira from the greatness of Hashem, right, the romamut and the gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu presence, because someone is so great, like a king is so great, who holds everything in his hands, and your future is in his hands. That's what you have a yira for, someone who has that power. So the ava and yira here are directed at different objects. The ava and yira over here, which are lishma, are directed at a kodesh baruch hu, which that is considered to be a positive lishma aspect. Whereas the ava and yira that we're talking about in daf chaf beis amud beis was projected towards the mitzvot and the aveirot, which is talking about tzchar and onesh, which is where we consider it shelo lishma. And that's Antivinus Yisroko, right in the Mishnah in Avot. It says, right, Al. And that's the pras, is what we're talking about on Kapes of a Beis. And that is the Ava and Yira that we found in our Gemara over here. So now the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between Ose Ava and Ose Mira? Right, there's a difference between what Rav Shimon Elazar says. Godol Ose Mi'ava, Yon Termin Ose Mi'ava. One who worships out of Ava Mi'ira, there's a much greater reward. One who worships out of Yira, that protects him or lasts, this is supposed to last for 1,000 years. And the other one lasts for 2,000 or multiple thousands of years. It says, right in the Sefer Dibrot, Lalafim, Ovai, Ulishomrei, Mitzvah. Otai, for the thousands, mean that one who boasts a chesel alafim, Ovai, the Shomrei Mitzvotai. Hashem will take care of those that do it out of Ava, and the Shomrei Mitzvotai will do it for alafim. Even Devarim, in the end of Parshat Chanan, it says, the Shomrei Mitzvotai, Lalav Dor. Those that keep his mitzvot, Lalav Dor. So, well, guess what? In both cases, it says Ava and Shomrei Mitzvot, because the beginning of the Pasuk, in Et Chanan, is, the Shomrei Mitzvotai, Lalav Dor. So, and in the pasuk in the Yisrael's difference. It says go avai, shomrei mitzvotai. So Gemara's implication is that ahava means worship at avai, shomrei mitzvotai, or shomrei mitzvot is ira. Both sukkim have both, right, both issues in them. They both have ahava, they both have shomrei mitzvot. So how are you differentiating between these two? So Gemara says, atam nami in Ashkana, it says go avai, shomrei mitzvotai, door. So Gemara says, haida the samichlei, behaida the samichlei. What's closest to the reward? In the case in Parshat Yitro, when it's coming in, it says, what's mentioned first there? The Ohavai. Since the Ohavai is mentioned first, that's the reward. The Alafim goes towards the Ohavai. Whereas in Etchanan it says, the Ohavav, Ulu Shomrei Mitzvotavu Lelav Dor. So what's close, right, to, what's close to the Shomrei, what's close to the Lelav Dor in Etchanan? It's the Shomrei Mitzvotai, which is that of Yira. So therefore, the reward for someone that's that of Yira is Lelav Dor. The reward for someone that's that of Ava is Alafim, right? Multiple Alafim or 2,000 or more years of protection. So that's the difference between someone that's that of Ava Mira is the extent of this course or how long this course will last for them. Alright, how do you tell me today? Tamidei, the Habu Yakvei Kami, the Rabbah. There were two Tamidim that's sitting before Rabbah. Chad Amalei Akir Yon Bechalmai. One of them said, right, this Gemara has similar to the Inner Brachos. They were reading to me, or I was heard this pasuk, or I saw this pasuk in my dream. Ma Rab Tuvucha Asher Tzafanta Lereacha. Right, how great is the reward that you have kept hidden for those that fear you. Chad Amalei Akir Yon Bechalmai. The other one said, in my dream, right, this is the pasuk that they quote. Those who will rejoice, all who take refuge in you, the olam yiraneinu, and they will always be rejoiced. And then, actually, here the Gemara skips, the pasuk skips. They're missing a couple words here. Then it says, and then they will exalt in you those that love you. Both of you are tremendous tzaddikim. So both of you are tzaddikim gemurim atun, but one of you is worshiping Hashem me'ava, and one of you is worshiping Hashem me'ira, and that's why the pasuk by one of them was ma'arab tuvcha shetzvanta li'irei echa for yira, whereas the other one was v'yaltzu b'cha obey shemecha, they had a love. So the Rebbe says that the different pasukim refer to their different approaches or their different views or being tzaddikim, how they were tzaddikim, was it me'ira or me'ahava. And again, the demand or the Rambam always says that a person has to worship Hashem Mi'avo Mi'ira, and that is the puzzle says right Migilu Birada, that you have to be rejoiced in Hashem and be Ava Hashem Birada, but you also have to be trembling, and that both aspects have to be found in the individual. That even when you approach Hashem Mi'ava, right, Ava unchecked Ahava has its pitfalls, as well as unchecked Yira has its pitfalls. So the driver, the strive to be, to worship Hashem Mi'ava, has to also be checked, right? The drive today, very, very common among the youth today, to drive to be worship Hashem, right, out of Ahava, and that worshiping Hashem out of Ahava sometimes lacks the aspect of, lacks the aspect or the side of Yira, and the fear of Hashem, and knowing that there is still a distance between me and Hashem, but I can't understand everything that Hashem does, and that there is an inability to comprehend the totality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that we have to have the Gilu Bir Adah. Right now, the next parak begins. It's going to be very familiar to you, the next parak, because it's almost a repeat of the Gemara in the first parak. Right, this Mishnah was quoted extensively, and even the Gemara afterwards was quoted extensively in the first parak. So I was wondering what it's doing here, and I'm glad that I wasn't the only one, because Tosfos also asked the question. He says, this parak, you look at the first Tosfos in the parak, he says, Perak Zaya Gun, Sheshanui, Umura, the parak Rishon. Right, it should have been in the middle of the first parak. After that section over there, it says, Avotema. He says, I don't know what it's doing over here. Lachar Shanesha, but Kuo B'mayim, who Choser L'Kinoi. Right, here we talk about Kinoi Seer in the first parak. Then we got on to the whole B'tikas Amayim, the Shtias Amayim of the woman. And all of a sudden now, we're back at Kinoi and Seer again. Why are we always then back at Kinoi Seer? The mystery is you can have some sort of Seder, consistency to the Seder. Again, we pointed this out earlier, that it's unclear. The Mishnayos do not have the Seder of Sukkim. The Seder of Sukkim don't follow the Mishnayot. And the Rambam is a third Seder that's not like the Mishnayot or the Sukkim. But it's clear here that the Gemara here is not, the Mishnah here is not following any Seder necessarily. All right, so, except I would say the possible answer for Tosfos here is that the Seif of this Mishnah, Here the Mishnah talks about Kinyan Steer. At the end, the Mishnah talks about Eidus, about when she drinks and when she doesn't drink. That's a possibility of why this came in later on, which is that once we're talking about Bikas Hamayim, let's find out, and we talk about women who don't drink, or certain instances where she doesn't drink, this mission also addresses that type of issue. Even though this comes up before she ever comes to drinking, nevertheless, it addresses that issue. All right, let's try to finish this parak. Mishnah Kini, the Isto bin Nistira, and someone was Mekanet, his wife, and she was Nistira. Filu Shama mi Of HaPoreach, Yotzi Viten Ktuba, Dibri Rabbi Eliezer. Right, so we remember from Rabbi Eliezer, from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, he requires by kinoi, he requires edus, right, to edim, but by stira, he does not require to edim. He has ima filo aedachad, and the way Rashi says over here, it means afilo mi opareach, means ima psule edus, meaning that Rashi says that once you don't require edus for stira, it doesn't matter how you get the information that she was nisteret, because there's no requirement of edus. I mean, I'll point out, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says that he doesn't feel that that has to necessarily be true, and we'll see that from the second half here. So Yotzi Viten Ktuba, so he'll be motzi her, but he still has to give her a ktuba, Dibre Rabbi Eliezer. Because of Rabbi Eliezer, because here she's not giving her to drink. He now, with Kino and Stira, has the right to give her to drink the Mesota, and he does not take her up to Yerushalayim and feed her the Mesota. He does have a right to divorce her, but if he divorces her, she has not yet lost her ksuba, right? Because she wasn't the one who refused to drink. It was him who didn't bring her up, and if he's the one who didn't bring her up, then we say that the burden is on him, and therefore he will pay her ksuba. All right, so now Rabbi Shuel Meir, Ach Yisub Yinu Ba Mezorot Balofanav. So we already had this expression before, that a woman does not drink, right, when they are discussing about her at night. Meaning the rumor mill is working. Right. So he says, sounds like she still gets her suba. Even until that point, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer says, Yotzei Viten Ketuba. Right? So Rabbi Shua says, Achi Subi Nuba Mizurot Alayla, sounds like what? Right? So once they, Rashi says what? When is Yisubi Nuba Mizurot Alayla? So listen to what Rashi says. Mew. Is Yisubi Nuba Mizurot Alayla Bepitsuta Mechura Dabar. That is so disgusting. With Tate, he should divorce her. Da'afilu Mayu Tulo Bedikila. Because even the warders won't check her anymore because of that. But Rabbi Shua requires full edus, right? Requires edus for stira. That will not be sufficient, right, over here to create a stira that would force it to drink. But it's so beyond that you should divorce her even though you have to pay out her ksuba. That's the way Rashi learns it, Rabbi Shua. So Rashi learns Rabbi Eliezer believes what you have kinoi and stira here, and the choice is up to the husband. He can either take up to Yerushalayim and have her drink, but if he does not make that choice, he says, divorce her and give her a ksuba. Rabbi Shua never has stira like this. Rabbi Shua has a requirement of edus by stira. And since there's no edus here, all we have is that they are no so that they are just rumor mill is generated over here. That's not sufficient to bring her up to have a shvia. On the other hand, it's sufficient enough to tell him that it's so disgusting. This is such a pretusa. This is so beyond the pale of what is normal. Meaning that then he should divorce her. But when he does divorce, he must pay a ksuba he's saying that the lack of the mind's ability to be bold like a woman who has such rumors about her shows you the severity of that action, not telling you that she does or does not drink at this point. Right, but that's just evidence that it's such a pitzutza. Once you have that type of pitzutza, divorce her, but you're going to have to pay her ksuba. Because, all right, so now, Tosfos disagrees that with Rashi's pshat over here, that everything over here is after stira. Look at in Tosfos. Right in the Tosfos we read before, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines down. 9 lines down in the first Tosfos, the middle of the line, it says Venira. Right? It says Venira. Venira, the Hafa Perusha, Yakarsha Kinala, Afilu Kodem Stira. Even before Stira, Shama Pritsuta, Shariaksha, Psat, Raglaim Ladavar, Mukhuara Davar, Umutsiabik Tuba, Makarsha Lonistra, Lonesra Love. mitzvah the garsho, and then according to Beis Hillel and according to Beis Shammai, it's chovah the garsho. Now that's how he explains. This is how he explains Rabbi Eliezer. The way Rashi is learning Rabbi Eliezer is that you have kinui and stira here, and the stira is being generated by any form, because Rabbi Eliezer has no requirement of idus by stira, and therefore you have kinui and stira, and that's why you should divorce her. Why is he paying suba? Because it has to be that he's not giving her to drink. Problem with that is then you come up into Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, you also have kinui and stira now, according to this, and then he says that she's subnud by Muzar at the Lila. So there Rashi has to say, but that it's a case where there was no stira, but it's a producer, your serata. So that means Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are talking about two different cases, right? Rabbi Eliezer is talking about a case of after stira, right? Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is talking about a case, right? He's addressing an issue where it's, because for him it's not stira, therefore it's always before stira. So Tosa says, no, and we keep it consistent. And both cases here are kinoi without stira. So what is kinoi without stira is nothing. So Tosa says, no, because you had kinoi here, you generate a raglaim ledavar. You've now pushed down her, as kashrus has been deteriorated, and because of that, now once something comes up, once you get a rumor that comes up, how persistent a rumor, how deep a rumor will make a difference. That's machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, right? But how persistent or how verifiable a rumor you have will make a difference. And therefore, when it's a case like this where he says that oh, poreach, somebody's talking, that's spreading around, the rumor's spreading around like that, that is considered, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's enough to say divorce her. And it's a mitzvah to divorce her. She gets her tshuva because there's no stira yet. It's kinoi without stira, so she's still entitled to her tshuva. But the mitzvah to divorce her because it's reached a point where there's raglaim ledavar and there's a rumor here. And then he says, notice later on, I'm not going to read it here. It says, Ash at the Shapir, Rabbi Yeshua. Now, Rabbi Yeshua's opinion makes more sense because Ash Yisrael Nubad Mazurat Balaila, right, that is enough evidence. I mean, the question is, how great a rumor do we need in order to say that the Raglaim Ledavar of the Kinoi already puts in a position we say divorce her? So that's it. Rabbi Eliezer says, already, because Kinoi already, we've already, the situation's deteriorated so much that any news of such a action already makes us suspicious and he should divorce her. Yeshua says, no. Just because you have Kinoi doesn't mean that we listen to any rumor. You have to be Achie, right? No, so no, Mazur Balaila, Hilvana.
That's what you're quite saying.
Right. Well,
it makes
not,
focus.
The Machlokes might be similar in Stira, but here we're not dealing with Stira. According to Tosfos, it's not an issue of Stira. This is an issue of, right, of what the obligation to divorce her, what is the rumor that you need? What's the evidence?
What are you kidding me for? According to that, if it's Stam Machlokes, then how much rumor do you need to get rid of?
No, because then you don't, her Cheskas Kashrus stands. Without a rumor, her Cheskas Kashrus stands.
You know what I'm saying? But then you don't
need to. Your Kinoi is a Raglaim Ledavar that starts to ruin her Cheskas Kashrus. Then once you ruin her Cheskas Kashrus, now a rumor can impact. Without that, as Tom, anybody is that, generally people have a Cheskas Kashrus. We don't say a rumor affects them.
Yeah, sure. She's not a surrogate at that point. He just has a mitzvah. You know, half of his condition is remarried.
That's Beis Hillel says that. If you look at Tosfos, Beis Shammai believes that's chovah, that it's an obligation to divorce her. Right. So that is actually the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. It's a mitzvah of the garsho or the chovah of the garsho. That's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi believes that we actually do have stira here. According to Rabbi Eliezer, according to Tosfos, all this is prior to stira. We're not dealing with stira at all. We're dealing with, right, it's a different, folks might be the same type of premise about how much evidence you need once kinoi is in place. How much evidence do you need in order to either generate a need to divorce or generate a stira? In both cases, Rabbi Yeshua has a greater burden of proof. In one case, he needs edus for stira. In one case, he needs a greater rumor, persistent rumor, to show you that there's a need to divorce over here. Now, Eid Echad, oh, Amar Eid Echad, and Ireti, she needs mate. Right, if one aide comes along and says she's tamei, right, that we, she doesn't drink, that we saw in the Gemara earlier on, and we'll get to it again. Below out, elafilu eved, afilu shivchar, elu ne'amani, apostam yiktubata. Even an eved, even a shivchar, even sule eidut can come along, and they say she's nitmate, she doesn't drink, and she loses her ksuba. Chamuta, ubat chamuta, b'tzarata, b'yobta, b'vat bala. These are five women which the Gemara in, or Mishnah in Yevamos says are not trusted because they have a beef with this woman. Why would they have a beef? It's her mother-in-law, right? Her sister-in-law, but Vatka Mutah, this is, right, a sister-in-law from her, right, her brother's sister, her husband's sister, Vitzarata, right? Her Tzarata is her, the other wife, her co-wife, Viyivimta, that is her husband's brother's wife, her sister-in-law, through her, right, her brother-in-law, which is because if her husband dies, they will now become co-wives, right? Ubat Bala and a stepdaughter. All of these women have a beef or would like to get rid of her. And since they like to get rid of her, generally their idus is not believed when it comes to him. In their case, Nibam was a case where whether her husband passed away or not, whether they could testify to mess her up or not. So there, the Gemara says that they're not Naaman. These five women are not Naamanim because they have ulterior motives. So, but here, Hare Elu Naamanot. Here they are believed. Lola Poslami Ksubata. They can't get rid of her Ksuba because they can't do that. Ella Shloti Step. They are enough evidence in order to stop her from drinking the Mesilta. I think it's interesting, right? Because what happens now? There was Kinoi and Stira. So now Kinoi and Stira, she's a Sur Labala unless she drinks, right? So unless she drinks, she's a Sur Labala. So now, what do we say here? If she doesn't drink, she also doesn't get her Ksuba. So what are we saying? We're saying that she doesn't drink, but she'll still get her Ksuba. You know, they are strong enough to stop her from drinking, but they're not stopping her from taking her Ksuba. But if she doesn't drink, then she's a Sur Labala, right? So if she's a Sur Labala, so they do have impact. They have impact that she now will remain a Sur Labala. So what you have to say again is that we have Reglayim, because if she can't drink, she's a Sur Labala.
Maybe we don't trust them enough to be Asur on the Bala.
It's not what it says. If she's in a Shalosh Tishta, then she's a Sur Labala. So if you, that's all, either she drinks or she can't go back to us.
If you don't trust, maybe
it's no. Kinoi and Stira create an Isur Labala. Period.
How do you know it's a Stira? The Stira is because they have the eight.
Right? No, this is that they're Nitmate. These are this testimony that she was nitmate, not that there was stira, that there's nitmate. There's other edim that there was stira.
Okay,
this is just that there's an edacha that she was nitmate. Right? Edacha and nitmate. Now, right? So now they're having impact, and that she now will remain a sur labala. They're not enough impact that they will be right that she'll lose her ksuba, but she will remain a sur labala. So they do have impact. There's interesting nuance here in their testimony. But you have to say because of regain l'davar. In fact, since she already had kinoi and stira, she's already way beyond the pale of being innocent or being sentenced as a cheskas. So there, the testimony just leaves her as Sur Labala, but she doesn't maxid her Ksuba. All right, so now, Shaya B'din, this is a Gemara that we had on Gimel Amud Beis. This is why it tells us that she belongs over there. Shaya B'din, Umayim, Eidus Rishona, Shein Asota, Yisur Lalam. The Eidus Rishona, which refers to over here, right, is Kinoi. That Eidus Rishona that requires two Eidim, Eidim Itzkayim Pavach Mishnayim. By Kinoi, you require two, right? Eidus Akrona, Shein Asota, Yisur Lalam. The Eidus, when it comes to Tuma, that is Osir Olam, Inu Dinshlo Tizkayim Pavach Mishnayim. Certainly, it should not, right? It shouldn't work with Pavach Mishnayim. Right, Tamalomar, the aid ain't ba. Call Eidus Yishba, right? Any Eidus that's there, that doesn't, any Eidus prevents her from drinking, makes her tmeya. But Kalmachomar, the Eidus Rishonah, so let's learn it the other way around, right? Uma, in Eidus, right, Achrona, meaning when it comes to the Eidus Tuma, so Sotai Yisolam, that leaves her as a Yisolam, right? Harehi, Mitzkaima, Beid Echad, because of the Echad, Eidus Rishonah, we're talking about the Eidus Rishonah, we're talking about the Kino or the Stira, right? Then, she knows Sotai Yisolam, meaning did she claim Eid Echad? Then certainly she worked with Eid Echad. Tamal Omar, Kimatza Ba, Ervat Davar. It says that they find in her, when I talk about Eidus of Erva, it says Kimatza Ba, Ervat Davar. And Hanu, Meral Pishnaim, Eidim Yakum Davar. Malahalin, so Davar, we have Xer Sheva. So Xer Sheva, Davar comes to teach me that whenever it comes to Davar Shebe Arayus, right, anything that's Davar Shebe Erva, we require two Eidim. So if you require two Eidim by anything that's a Davar Shebe Erva, then why by the Eidus Tuma do you only require
one?
One eight. So now you have to explain it the other way. Oh, so that's what the Gemara says. That's it. What's the case? That's what the Gemara is going to ask. And that's what we had in the Gemara earlier on in the Masechta, that eight echad is a limud here by eight echad. And we'll see that in a second in the Gemara. All right, now the Gemara says, in the next case here, eight echad omer nitzmeh, eight echad melo nitzmeh. You have one eight saying she's tamay, one eight saying not tamay. Yisha omer nitzmeh, yisha omer lo nitzmeh. You have one woman saying she was nitzmeh, one woman saying not nitzmeh. Haita shulta. Here you have an eidus mucheshet, and therefore she drinks. Can there still suffix? She continued to drink. Echad omer nitzmeh, tishnayim lo nitzmeh. One says she was tamei, two say she was not tamei. Haita shulta. She drinks in that case. Why? Because you have two edim saying that she's still no nitzmeh. So therefore, she still has the right to be mivar the suffix. Shnayim omer nitzmeh, two say she was tamei. Echad omer lo nitzmeh, haita shulta. She can no longer drink because you have two edim versus one saying that she is tamei. That's the end of the Gemara. Today we'll discuss this issue. All right, Gemara says, Haita malomar ki matzava erba davar. Right, so if it says ki matzava erba davar, right? Then it requires two edim. How come we don't say? How come we don't say by the case over here that eight echad is enough by kinoi and stira? How come we didn't say that? So Mar says, because I bring you a pasuk and say a shava that all eight is with two edim. Mar says, but didn't you learn in Gimel of Beis? We learned from a different reason. We learned time alomer ba eight ain't ba. The Gemara there said that ba is a mute. Ba below the kinoi, ba below the stira. Right, that there's a mute, so that by eight echad only works by tuma, not by stira, not by kinoi. So if you have a mute in the pasuk, why do you need a specific pasuk to teach you that it's two? We have a miyut that says don't say it by tkinoi, don't say it by stira. So by Zvah says, so stira, be by like hafanami kamar. That's exactly what it's saying. Tamalomer ba, ba below bikinoi, below below the stira. So that means what? That when it says eight and ba, that eight is one eight is sufficient over here to make her tmeyah, and that does not work by kinoi, does not work by stira. The tomb of alma below kinoi below stira is lam hemen eight afai minolon. Where do we know? That's what the Mishnah means. Where do we know that when it's tomb of alma, when there is no raglai in the davar, there's no kinoi in stira, how do we know that eight echad is not sufficient? Never kama in davar, never lala in davar, malala in shneidim, afkan b'shneidim. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara is now, that when it comes to normal edus, davar shibba erva, anytime it comes to davar shibba erva, we require two edim. How do we know that from? That we know is because it says, ki matzaba erva davar, apishnaim edim yakum davar. Davar, davar teaches you need two edim. So now, sota is an exception, because it says eight and ba, we're going to see that limud in a second. So that requires by two of the sota after kinu and stira, there is only a requirement of one eight to be needs made. So now you have sota says eight erba, erba says two eight. What's the story with kinu and stira? Does it follow the normal process of erba, or does it follow the eight erba that we find by sota? That's what the mute's for. Ba below the kinoi, ba below the stira. But this eight erba, right, depending who it is, right, that the Gemara and people on the base dealt with, whether Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shua, who the limud and why they learn each one like the other one doesn't learn. So now, ba below the kinoi, ba below the stira. Right, or Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda over there said that you don't need it by either. All right. So now the Gemara says, Nemar Khan is by Nitzmeit, only works by Nitzmeit. So how do we know Eid HaKad is by Nitzmeit? Time at the Ka Makushle, right? That's only, in our mission over here, it works only because there is a Kasha, right? But, hello, Kamachashle, if there was no Eid HaKad being Makushle, Eid HaKad Mammon, then one Eid is believed. But now, how do you know that one Eid is believed? The Tanur Abana, and again, this is from the first Perek, first Daf, right? Abana, Tanur Abana, they ain't Ba, right? It says, when it says eight, it sounds like two eidim. Right, one eight cannot testify against a person. So what do we learn from that? We learn eight echad, right? That means that when the Torah, what would the word eight mean if it wasn't modified by echad? Would mean two. The fact that it modifies the word eight with echad tells you that it's one and not two. That, so therefore it means some eight would be two. Of course it's one. It's in the singular. So why does it mean it's matamalomer echad? So why is it modified by echad? Zebne ab komokum shnirme eight, harikan shnayim. Anytime in the Torah it says the word eight, that is two. Actually, you wrote the chakot to echad. And so the pasuk tells you that it is one. Ba'amar achmanen trei leisba el echad. Right, that's what it says. But eight ain't ba. There is no eight here. What does it mean? Eight means two. There are no two eight in here, but there is one eight. Vehilo nitzba, since she was not raped, therefore she is atzura. So you see, the pasuk here by Sota teaches you that there are two eidim, but one eid. And when there is one eid, that she is tmeya, therefore she is asura. And that's the limud from the pasuk over here. So now Gemara says, so the kevan de midoraisa echa neman. According to this, if one eid is believed over here, idoch hakim hamamatsi machish lei. How can another eid come along and be machish the first eid's eidus? And the Torah says, when an eid echad comes along and says, nitzmeit, she is tmeya. Now all of a sudden another eid comes along and says, lo nitzmeit. Why do we believe the second eid? The Torah believed the first eid to the extent that she is now a surah, the bala. Why can the second eid come? Ba'amar u'ula, komakum shemina Torah eid echad, ereken shayim. Whenever the Torah believes one eid, when it believes one eid, that means it's equivalent of two eidim showing up here. So now, if it's equivalent of two eidim showing up here, how can one eid afterwards come and object to the, right, the testimony of the first eid? And then one eight can never testify against two eight. Ella Amar Ula, this is an unbelievable solution to this Mishnah. Tani Lo Haita Shota. Well, the solution here is that when in our Mishnah, when it said Eid Echad, right, Eid Omer Nitzmeit, Eid Omer Lo Nitzmeit, right, Yisho Omer Nitzmeit, Yisho Omer Lait, Haitha Shota, our Mishnah says Shota. Who amends the Mishnah to read Lo Haitha Shota? She does not drink. Mechein Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Haitha Shota, she does not drink. Why does she not drink here? We have one Eid that comes along and says that she's Tmeyah. Once one Eid comes along and says she's Tmeyah, that's equivalent of two Eidim coming and saying she is Tmeyah. She's Tmeyah, she does not drink. One Eid now comes and says she's not Tmeyah. That one Eid has no power against two Eidim. So they say, therefore, Lo Haitha Shota. They amend the Mishnah to read Lo Haitha Shota. Rabbi Chiya Amar Haitha Shota. Rabbi Chiya leaves the Mishnah, does not amend the Mishnah to read this, but leaves the Mishnah intact at Haitha Shota. So where it says, Rabbi Chiya Kasha Geula. What's Rabbi Chiya going to do with this problem of Geula? Once you have a kosher Eid, right, then he becomes like two. What are you going to do with this? Lo Kasha. So he says, Rabbi Chiya says, Rabbi Chiya Kamba Bat Akad, Kamba Zeh Akar Zeh. When does an Eid Akad take on a tokich that it's irrefutable, that his Eid just becomes like two Eidim? That's only once we've completed, according to Rashi here, it's once he's completed his testimony. Once he's completed his testimony, we've made it today, right, Tokhade Dibor. After that, once we've accepted his testimony, he becomes like two, and any aid that comes afterwards is now, has to be mitmodei, has to deal with two aidim, equivalent of two aidim. Therefore, when an aid shows up, no good. Tosu says that not only do they have to accept his testimony, they have to paskin based on that testimony. They have to give hora'ah based on that testimony. So that only after they paskin that she doesn't have to drink anymore is the aid that's not about the other aid coming. Right, so that's what's called Bevat Achat. So as long as they come together, so Rashi means Tokhade Dibor, Tosu means before they give a Pshat Halacha. In each of that case, that's considered one aid. And therefore, one aid will not have more power than the other aid. The Zechar Zeh, when there's a gap between them, what is that gap? Rashi just means that they're not Tokhade Dibor. Tosu says there was a Hora given based on the first testimony. Then the first aid becomes like super aid, and it becomes like two aidim. And therefore, when the one aid comes afterwards, he's no good. And that's the case in our mission over here. Is when they came, the Batak Maris continues. Stan, Eid Omer Nitzmeit, Ushnai Nomerim Lo Nitzmeit, Haitha Shota. So now the Mishnah says, if one Eid Echad says that she's Nitzmeit, and Shnaim said that what, she's not Nitzmeit, Haitha Shota. Now she drinks. Ha Chad Bechad, but so this, Lo Haitha Shota. So that's Yuta de Rabbi Chiya. That sounds like the deal that, right, Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak has. So Amalokha Rabbi Chiya. So now, what could Rabbi Chiya answered here? Rabbi Chiya could have answered the difference here is between Basa Akas and Zachar Zeh. Right. That's what he could have said. He could have said the two bubbles of the Mishnah are like that. Both Rashi and Tosfos here said that he couldn't say that because he said that the Mishnah sounds like it's Bat Akas. The whole Mishnah sounds like Bat Akas, and therefore he can't make that differentiation of Zachar Zeh. So now, what does Rabbi Chiya answer? Rabbi Chiya, the Tameh, Ema Seifa. Wait, there's another case after that. Shnaim Omrim needs mate, Verachar Lelo needs mate. You have two saying yes and one saying no. Laita Shota, she doesn't drink. Ha, Bacha, Bacha, Daita Shota, you have a deep the other way. The Mishnah doesn't, the Diyuk in the Mishnah is not good because you have a Diyuk in both directions. One from the Rishon, one from the Sefer, it's not going to work. So leave that out. Ella, what's the second half of this Mishnah dealing with? What if a two and one? Suleidis. That's the name of Suleidis, Rabbi Nechemiah. It's according to the position of Rabbi Nechemiah. The Tanya, Rabbi Nechemiah, Omer, Kol Makom, Shem, Mina, Torah, Eid Echad, Halach, Achar, Rob, Deot. Anytime the Torah believes one aid, you go after the majority. The majority rules. We're no longer in the regular rules of Eidut. Then it just becomes, you know, numbers. Here's a quantitative decision over here. Basu shtei nashim b'ish echad, k'shtei anashim b'ish echad. That two women against one man will be the equivalent of two men against one man. I mean, it's all about quantity, and it's not about the qualitative value or qualitative aid here. It's all about the quantitative idus here. B'idame, there's some say, ko'echin da'at eid echad, kosher mi'ikara. If one aid comes from the beginning that's kosher, a kosher aid in the beginning, afilu me'an nashim namiket echad damyan. Then anything that comes after it is not measured quantitatively, but rather qualitatively, because since there was an Eid Echad that was kosher in the beginning, and the Torah believed Eid Echad here, he becomes like super Eid now, he becomes like Shnei Eidim. Since he becomes like Shnei Eidim, therefore, or at least his Eid takes on extra tokev, then no matter how many people come afterwards, they're only considered like one Eid against him. So now, what's the case in our Mishnah? The case in our Mishnah is where a woman came first. Right? So what happens here is when a woman comes along and says, Lo Nitzmeit, right? And then afterwards you have two that come along and say, Shnaim Omrim She Nitzmeit, right? So once you have Shnaim Omrim Nitzmeit afterwards, they can undermine the testimony of the Isha. Or an Isha comes along and says, what? Isha comes along and says that Lo Nitzmeit, and then two come along and say Nitzmeit, or Isha comes along and says, Lo Nitzmeit, nitmate, and two come on and say lo nitmate, we go after the majority. In both these cases, we go after the majority. So now you have to ask me, why do you need two bubbles to teach you that? Why do you need a quantitative? But wait, the Gemara will answer that in a second. Just one little, side piece here, and then the Gemara will answer that question. But Tirtza, that are the Rabbi Nechemia Kalki. What? Do we explain Rabbi Nechemia the way we Gemara explained it? All Rabbi Nechemia says, Kol Makom Shemina Tarei Echad, Alach HaRob Doyot, go after the quantitative amount. The Gemara then said that Noshim and Anoshim are equal in this case. Is that really true? Do we learn Rabbi Nechemia that way? The Gemara says, no, you don't have to learn it that way. Why? No, that is not true. When do we say we go after qualitative, quantitative numbers? That's only when we're dealing in the parsha of Shulei Edus. Right? So that two women against one woman will be like two men against one man. But if you have interspersed men and women, we won't necessarily say that two women can override one man. Because one man is a kosher aid in other places, two women will only be considered what? That they'll be like one on one. So therefore, we can't necessarily learn Rabbi Nechemia that when he says rov deyot, it means rov deyot even when it's men and women mixed. It might be only when you have men alone or women alone to be saying rov deyot. But if you have right men and women mixed, then shulei edus will be only equivalent to one aid that is a kosher aid. Now back to the Gemara's question.
Twice.
What?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Why do we need twice? But Tartim shulei edus lamali. This Gemara answers about the rov deyot. Every time we go rov deyot l'chumra, what's the chumra here? Right, so the chumra over here, the Gemara says, is shtia, that she drinks. Right, that she actually drinks. About the kula, that the fact that she will be potter from drinking, so tishta lazlina, and then we go until kamash malan, and we go both ways. I think her learns either way. I mean, I don't know why, I see the restraint, both Tosfos and Rashi say this, but that the chumra here is that she drinks, the kula is that she doesn't drink. But you could have looked at it the other way around, right? The chumra is that she doesn't drink, because then she's asur su alam, and she may lose her ksuba over here, versus the other case where, right, the kula is that she can drink, and she can get her ksuba out if she doesn't drink. So I don't know whether either way it doesn't matter which side is the kula. You have both.
You need both to cover.
You need both to cover both sides. All right, let's have here.